Last Word on Today FM.
A little bit earlier than usual, Marion McKeown and Cal Thomas joining us from the United States. And I want to start, Marion, with the arrest of a man who has now been charged with the murder of Brian Thompson, the chief executive of United Healthcare. The videos of the murder which took place last week have been deeply shocking, as indeed has been the reaction of many people to the murder. Start, though, please, by telling us a little bit about the young man who now faces the charges.
Okay, Matt. His name is Luigi Mangione. He's 26 years of age. He is apparently a very smart and intelligent young guy. He's a graduate of Penn State University, which is an Ivy League college, went to the Gilman School in Maryland, in Baltimore before that, $40,000 a year, a really prestigious private all-boys school. His family were, they're a pretty wealthy family of Italian immigrants who his grandfather owned nursing homes, he owned country clubs, he even owned a radio station. You know, a very well-to-do, very wealthy family within their community, very respected. His mum owns a kind of high-end boutique travel business. So this seems to have come out of, he sustained his encounter with the health insurance industry seems to have stemmed from a back injury he had that was exacerbated by a surfing accident, and he had surgery. It seems that it wasn't successful. He went to live in Hawaii in a sort of a commune for about 6 months, lost touch with his family. They haven't seen him in over a year. And then he turned up in New York and as we saw, shot Brian Thompson, you know, stalked him and shot him in cold blood. So it's really shocking. His family have come out with a very brief statement expressing their devastation. One of the things that was said to me by a New York lawyer that I was talking to was that it's interesting that the pictures of him were quite clear, but nobody came forward and said, I know that guy. Nobody from his school, his college, his workmates. He worked for a car company as an engineer. He was laid off about 6 months ago, I understand. That nobody said they recognized him. So even though he was quite recognizable from those photographs, but that is one of the things people are looking at. He claims in his manifesto, as he calls it, that it was found on that he acted alone and that these people were parasites and had to pay, and sort of almost an apologetic note to the federal investigators, okay. New York investigators, saying, don't waste your time looking for anybody else, it was me. It's and as you say, a really ugly and confusing.
Well, I want to get to Cal on that, because Cal, it's been extraordinary. These social media response in many quarters has almost been to celebrate what he did, that Brian Thompson, as a representative of the private healthcare industry, somehow had this heinous murder coming to him.
It's terrible, Matt. And we've also seen something similar. I don't know if we're going to get into this in the acquittal of Daniel Perry in New York for allegedly killing a crazy man on the subway. Some of the reaction to that has been extraordinary as well. Even on the United Healthcare webpage, there have been people posting things like we ought to kill more of these CEOs. I mean, our healthcare is obviously in difficult circumstances, but one of the major reasons for that is government involvement in it. During Obamacare, it's driven up the price, especially of Medicaid enrollments. There has been a 2.3 million to 3.3 million people who are on Medicaid, which is the health policy for poor people who don't actually qualify. So this isn't the problem of CEOs of the healthcare industry. It goes a lot deeper in that. But as you say, the reaction has been extremely shocking, with people actually endorsing the murder of others. There's a lot more to find out about this case. Apparently, this guy Maggioni got the gun by using a 3D printer. It wasn't even bought at a gun store or on the black market. And then how did he know that Brian Thompson was going to be at this place at 6:45 in the morning? There's a lot to be found out about this case that we don't know yet.
Yeah, and of course, and the bullets then as well had the casing, Deny, Defend, Depose, which was the title of a book in relation to the private healthcare industry. Let's just hear a little bit of the Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro speaking to reporters after Mangione's release.
Violence can never be used to address political differences or to address a substantive difference or to try and prove some ideological point. That is not what we do in a civilized society. That was true in Butler. It was true in New York City. It's true anywhere. That is not how you make progress in this country. The person, the suspect here, who shot at that CEO and killed that CEO, is a coward, not a hero. And we need to make sure that in this country, we get back to having a civil discourse about our differences.
Indeed, good luck with that. But I suppose,
yeah,
Carl, the thing, there is an issue. I understand your position in relation to Medicare and Obamacare and the rest of it, but there does seem to be a very serious issue in the United States with private health insurers finding ways not to pay benefits to those who have purchased the insurance, making it very difficult for people to recoup the exceptionally high costs of accessing health care in the United States.
Well, I can only speak from my own perspective on this. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is one of the top insurers in the country, and I have never been denied any kind of care that I needed, including a knee replacement and some other things that were of less consequence. But yes, it is too expensive, but it's a complicated issue from government regulations to hospital care. I mean, one time when I was in the recovery room for after my knee replacement surgery, I was charged something like $300 an hour for just being in the recovery room. It's just totally outrageous. I think we need more competition in healthcare. We need more competition in health insurance, but we haven't gotten it. Maybe we'll get it with a new administration through this Department of Government Efficiency that Elon Musk and Ramaswamy are heading up. There are a lot of reforms that need to be made, and healthcare insurance and healthcare itself is just one of them.
Okay, Mary McCone, my understanding, having read a lot about this over the last week and listened to a lot on it, is that the major issue that people have is not with the state provision, it's with the private health insurers overcharging and not providing the benefits to which people believe they're entitled, if they can afford to purchase them.
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are so many things wrong with the American healthcare system, but that is a key thing. And United Healthcare, which is the biggest company, it has a market capitalization of about $540 billion. You know, but it has made its profits, and it is extremely profitable in no small part from turning down one in three claims. The average is fewer than one in five claims being turned down, which is still extraordinarily high when you think that people sometimes pay thousands of dollars a month in premiums. So the system is a mess. I disagree with Cal about Obamacare. 40 million people who didn't have health insurance previously now have it as a result of Obamacare. And the most important thing about Obamacare is if you have a pre-existing condition, you can no longer be denied coverage because of that pre-existing condition, which allowed millions more people to get health care that they could afford. But this for-profit system, it doesn't work. America spends $4.5 trillion a year in health care. It has the worst health care outcomes of any civilized country, any developed country. And, you know, it's people live for 10 years shorter, and people are almost encouraged to be unhealthy. Robert F. Kennedy, I totally disagree with on vaccines, but I think he does make some salient points about the connection between big pharma and big agriculture and all these things and American people's health. But there is such rage at the insurance companies and frustration because of the way that they operate and because of the way that they do deny people, because you cannot have a treatment unless you get permission from your doctor, who has to get permission from your insurance company. And also in some of the states where really poor people, the state governments of Florida, Tennessee, Texas, places like that, if you're very poor, they won't allow government dollars for Medicaid. So you just have to suffer and go without health care. It's an appalling system.
Let's move on to other things. Cal, what position do you expect the American government and the new Trump administration to take on Syria now that the dictator Bashar has actually stepped down?
Well, Trump, of course, has said it's not our fight. Well, we do have interests in that region, and not just because of Israel and oil and many other things. I think we have to tread carefully here because the United States does not have a good record of what happens to dictators that are overthrown. Now, the head of this rebel group, which is has been described as a terrorist organization by the U.S. State Department, claims that he is going to be a religious pluralist, that people of other faiths other than Islam will be able to practice it freely. Women will not have to cover up as they walk outside their homes. That's all fine. And as Anthony Blinken said yesterday, our Secretary of State, the words are nice, but let's see what it translates into actions. We just look at Vietnam and the CIA overthrowing the leader, the elected leader there in South Vietnam during the Kennedy administration. You've got Chile. You've got Iran, of course, which is the most obvious one, where under the Carter administration, we overthrew the Shah and we got Ayatollahs to replace them. Cuba, another example. Fidel Castro in 1959, when he ousted the dictator Batista, promised all these things, that he wasn't going to be a dictator, went to the UN in New York, was hailed by the press, and of course he turned out to be a dictator, and Cuba remains a communist entity to this day. So I think we have to tread lightly. We do have interests, but I'm not sure they are necessarily military interests.
Okay, what's your assessment, Marion, of what the Trump administration, which is the relevant one, given that Joe Biden seems to have gone on an extended holiday at present?
Yeah, that's a good point. He just seems to have gone completely AWOL. Well, I think that Trump's pronunciations, for want of a better word, so far just expose the level of his ignorance about the region and the consequences of US action within it. And, you know, he had one tweet where he said, "I know Vladimir, his buddy Putin, well. This is his time to act." Well, he doesn't know Putin at all, I would venture. And Russia, of course, the collapse of the Assad regime is a consequence of partly of Russia being dragged into, well, invading Ukraine. And then, of course, the situation with Israel and Gaza. And, it's so complicated that everybody has a stake here, the Turks, the Russians, the Chinese, the Americans.
And the Israelis as well. Don't forget them, Marion.
In particular, the Israelis, absolutely. And I worked on the Syrian refugee crisis on the Syrian border for about 2.5 years. I employed Syrian refugees. The stories they told me, some of them had been tortured in the Sinada prison, were just horrific. Assad was the most barbaric dictator, and his father before him as well. And I would add Tito as an example of what can happen when the regimes of absolute tyrants and brutes collapse, that countries can really implode into different factions. There are a lot of different factions in Syria. I think the US mishandled Syria from the start of that, the 2012 uprising. I don't know what they can do now, but I suspect that Trump will probably very much allow Putin and Israel to decide between them how they want to handle this. I don't think it's a good look. I think it's the region is so volatile at the moment. I think it's really good that Assad is gone, but we don't know what's going to come next. And I think it's a really uncertain, dangerous time.
I mean, there's been reports that Israel has advanced its forces beyond the Golan Heights to within 25 miles of Damascus. And what do you expect Israel to do? I mean, is Israel thinking now that it has been its actions in relation to Hamas and Hezbollah are now somehow justified because it has weakened those organizations, and that led to the fall of this dictator?
Yeah, and certainly Netanyahu is selling it as that to the Israeli people. Remember a year ago, people just wanted rid of him. The Israelis hated him. He had a 70% disapproval rating. And now he's claiming all these massive victories. He's saying, this is due to me. Iran is now weakened. And it is really true. Iran used Syria to ferry arms and weapons across to Hezbollah. Like, they could just drive straight through Syria and bring them up to Majd al-Jannah or all those towns on the border and just give them to Hezbollah. That won't happen anymore. So there is a disruption there. This is not good news for Hezbollah, which is good news for the world. But there are so many, as I say, unintended consequences. There are so many potentially good but potentially awful things that might come out of this as well. And Syria might just descend into violence and chaos. The US, with good reasons, is very suspect of al-Jalani. He was one of the guys who went to fight against the US in Iraq. But he's a very charismatic. He's done a decent job in the north of running a government there of sorts. The Syrian people were really highly educated. They had an 80-90% literacy rate before all of this Syria imploded in 2012. 12. They've now had a generation of kids who've had no school. There's so much volatility and so much desperation and so much trauma in the area. As I say, I don't know what's going to happen next, but I think it's something that the EU should be looking at very closely. It should be trying to influence as well.
Okay, very briefly, Cal, just something else to finish with you. What do you make of the fact that Donald Trump is now suggesting that he will pardon all of those who stormed the Capitol on the 6th of January when he takes up the presidency, and that he is going to go out of his way to target those who he believed are his enemies?
I think he'll do the first and probably not the second. A lot of this is bluster. I thought we were going to get into the perfume and cologne business that he is now in, because I was going to send you some of that for Christmas, and Marion too. I think you would smell great, and you'd be able to repel your enemies with it, according to Trump.
Well, in fairness, Jill Biden didn't recoil from in Notre Dame, so maybe he was smelling well.
You know, that was an amazing scene to see all those world leaders coming up and treating Trump as he is currently the president. And as you said earlier, I think, Biden has just been so diminished. He's completely out of the picture. The only thing left is pardons. And as I write in my column today, the press is even talking about the possibility of preemptive pardons for people who haven't even been accused of a crime. I don't think that's going to fly.
Thank you very much, Cal Thomas and Marion McKeown.
The Last Word on Today FM.